Morning. It is wonderful to see you all here today. Back in, I believe it was 2015, a movie was released by the name of Inside Out. How many of you have seen this movie, Inside Out? Okay. It's, I believe it's Disney Pixar. I think. Yeah. And it follows 11-year-old Riley, and Riley is moving to a new city. And in Riley's main processing center, there are these five emotions: disgust, fear, joy, sadness, and anger. And the movie essentially follows what is going on in Riley's brain as she is trying to process this move and what life is now going to look like. And it was a really good movie. And then in 2024, Inside Out 2 came out, and it was so much better. Because now, in Inside Out 2, we are following around 13 or 14-year-old Riley as she is making the transition from middle school to high school. And puberty hits. And four new emotions show up. And the first one, I can't remember what they call, uni or something. Ennui. It's boredom. It's the French word for boredom. And embarrassment is the pink one there. The blue one on the far side is envy. And the star of the show is anxiety. And anxiety really controls the movie and the plot of the movie as Riley is trying to figure out what high school is going to look like. And essentially, the problem throughout the movie is that anxiety is reshaping Riley's sense of self. Essentially, anxiety is redefining who Riley is. And that is something that we should never allow to happen. We should never allow anxiety to define us. Today, we are in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Jesus starts this section with the simple words, "Do not be anxious." So simple, right? Man, it is that time of year, I don't know about you, but that I start getting anxious. Because I start thinking, oh, okay, I've got to re-enroll in health insurance. How much is that going to go up this year? Oh, it's going to be tax season soon. Am I going to owe? How much am I going to owe? Right? And anxiety builds and builds and builds. And I think it's important to point out that stress and anxiety are two different things. Stress is from an outward pressure. Anxiety is all inward. A lot of times stress leads to anxiety, but they're not quite the same. And Jesus says, do not be anxious. Essentially, he says, don't worry. Don't let that stress get to you. In fact, you could even interpret or translate this word as do not be concerned with. And he goes on to explain the things that he's talking about. He says, don't be concerned about your life. He says, look at the birds of the air, how they sow, or they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And this is such an important truth that we as Christians, as children of God, often forget about, is that God takes care of the animals. He takes care of the birds. He takes care of all of these things. Aren't you more important than they are? Doesn't God love you more than anything else? After all, when you go through the creation story, every single thing that God creates, he says, is good. Except for one thing. When he creates mankind, he says, it is very good. After all, we're created in his image. We are so loved by God, yet anxiety strips us of that truth. And we forget so often how much God loves us. And the point that Jesus makes is if God is going to take care of the birds of the air, don't you have faith that he'll take care of you? And then he continues by talking about the body. Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow will be thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Again, we let this anxiety control us. Just like Riley, we let anxiety take control of our lives and redefine who we are instead of letting our Father in heaven define who we are. So we should not be anxious, is what Jesus says. Why should we not be anxious? I've given some, but there's so many more reasons than that. To start, I want to talk about the physical reasons we should not be anxious. We cannot allow anxiety to shape who we are physically. Some of you know, maybe many, maybe all of you know, that anxiety can physically change us. Chronic anxiety leads to a weakened immune system, leads to insomnia, sleeping problems, leads to cardiovascular issues, high blood pressure, heart disease. It can cause headaches and migraines, and it causes mental health issues. Our health suffers when we have chronic anxiety in our lives, and some people get to the point where they cannot even function in society because of their anxiety. Isn't that sad? I mean, this is a child of God unable to function in society because they have allowed anxiety to get the best of them. And at the same time, we can't allow anxiety to shape who we are spiritually. And this is the part I want to focus on. Don't get me wrong, the physical implications of chronic anxiety are important, and we should think about those things, and we should make sure that anxiety does not shape us physically, but the spiritually is so much more important. You see, a big part of our faith is trusting and relying on God. And that whole text that we read, Jesus keeps going back to, if God clothed the grass of the field, if God cared for the birds of the air, don't you know that he will take care of you? He throws in that line, oh, you of little faith. So much of our faith is trusting and relying on God, and anxiety strips us of that ability. God will take care of our physical needs, and we need to trust him in that, and that is a spiritual battle. understanding that God will take care of you is a spiritual battle. Now, this doesn't mean that we can't plan. Instead, it means that in our planning, we need to rely on God. We need to trust in Him. And sometimes that means that as we make our planning, sometimes life throws us a curveball and we've got to sidestep our plan because God has a different plan. Sometimes those resources that you're saving for a rainy day, God says, no, I need you to use those here. There's someone in need. And we can't let that detour from the plan that we've made cause anxiety in our lives. Trusting in God and relying on Him is one of the most crucial aspects of faith. If you were to open to Hebrews chapter 11 and go through Hebrews chapter 11, there are more than 16 times in that chapter that the writer of Hebrews says, by faith, and then talks about someone whose actions showed that they were trusting in God, showed that they were following God in their actions. Many times, even in the face of danger, even in the face of persecution, these people trusted and relied on God. And a lot of times we talk about Hebrews chapter 11 as the chapter of faith, or the faith hall of fame. And then you look at some of the other things these people did and you go, well, maybe they weren't the best people. Yet they trusted in God. If you're facing danger, you cannot be faithful in your actions if you do not trust in God. When danger arises, when persecution arises, and Jesus talked about persecution already in the Sermon on the Mount, we cannot be faithful in our actions if we're not first trusting and relying on God. So the question becomes, how do we overcome anxiety? Because here's the truth. Anxiety is not always a choice. Sometimes it is, but it's not always a choice. And before I get into this, I have to point out that there are some people who are predispositioned to chronic anxiety because of the chemical makeup of their brain, because of circumstances in life, things they've already gone through. And there is a very real thing called clinical anxiety that has to be treated by a professional. Okay, I want to make that clear because there have been many, many people who've said, well, if you struggle from anxiety, you just have to trust in God more. And while I do believe that is true, there are also those who need medical help with their anxiety. And I don't want to sweep that under the rug. But I want to talk about what this passage is telling us as far as how we as Christians overcome our anxiety. This passage that we read, starting in Matthew 24, Jesus is in the middle of a sermon. And we have to take this in context with the sermon as a whole. Because the teaching on anxiety comes on the heels of what we had talked about last week, which was focusing on God and making heaven our treasure. And this passage starts with the word therefore, meaning that what Jesus is about to say right after this therefore directly connects to what he has just been talking about. The first impacts what is coming. So he says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious. The first way that we overcome anxiety is to focus on God. Our eyes have to be set on our Father who is in heaven. Our life needs to be focused on His kingdom. If we're focusing on God and His kingdom, His dwelling place, and we're looking at what we can do for His kingdom, the troubles of this world will seem to melt away. Amen. Suddenly, my worries seem insignificant compared to the godly things that I need to be doing in my life. And this one leads to the next. Because the next point that is made, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. When we focus on God and we seek his kingdom first, everything else will fall into place. Now, let me be clear, this does not mean that persecution and hard times will not come. In fact, quite the opposite is true. When you devote your life to God, Satan attacks even stronger. Hard times will come. The Christian life will not be easy. You might face persecution. You might face death. But if you're focusing on God and seeking his kingdom first, that stress, that outward pressure, probably will not lead to anxiety. Our earthly life is put into perspective when we put God's kingdom and his righteousness as the most important thing in our life. Look at the book of Acts. Look at Paul and the apostles when they are beaten by the Sanhedrin. How do they leave that beating? Do they say, "Oh, poor us. Look at what I've suffered." No, they leave saying, "Look at us. Look at what we've suffered for Christ." They counted enduring a beating similar, but nowhere near the same scale that Christ suffered, as a blessing. They faced it not with anxiety, but with joy. Suddenly, instead of being concerned with having the latest and greatest of everything around me, I can be satisfied with a little bit because I know I have the perfection of heaven waiting for me. No matter what I face in this life, I can face with joy and with satisfaction because I know what is waiting for me. I can deal with the persecution of today because I know that I have eternal life with Jesus on the horizon. And the final point I want to make does not come from this section of the Sermon on the Mount, but when talking about being anxious, you kind of have to go to Philippians chapter 4, where Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The final point is be thankful. Here's one of the things I love about the Bible and that I love about studies being done today in our lifetimes, is they have done studies, clinical studies, that have shown that you cannot be anxious and grateful at the same time. Anxious and gratitude cannot coexist. You can go back and forth between the two, but if you are being thankful, you cannot be anxious at the same time. I love hearing modern science telling us something that the Bible told us thousands of years ago. Because it just goes to show that we know nothing about the world that God created. God knows us inside and out. He knows everything that we need even before we know that we need it. So rejoice in God and what he has done for you. Being grateful helps us focus on the positive things in life. And when we focus on the positive things in life, our outlook on life changes and we can be more positive. And when we are focusing not just on the positives, but on the godly things, our focus changes to the godly things. Our life becomes about the godly things. When we are anxious, we're focusing on the negatives. We're focusing a lot of times on things that we can't even control, and it negatively affects our lives. both physically and, more important, spiritually. The next verse in Philippians that I didn't have up there is the verse where Paul tells us to focus on the things that are excellent, the things that are worthy of praise. It says, focus on the godly things. Because again, God knows our bodies and our souls and what they need. And we need to be thankful. These three things, I believe, are the best things that we can do to overcome anxiety. Focus on God. Have your eyes set on God, focusing on that eternal reward that we are promised. And seek his kingdom. Meaning, look for ways in the world that you can minister to others and spread the kingdom of God. Look for those ways and then be thankful. Thank God constantly for all that he has done for us. Because again, we are his children. And that understanding of being children of God should be the one thing that shapes our lives and defines who we are. Because we are his children. That's simple, right? Living a Christian life and following Jesus is not always simple. I praise God and I thank him every day that he has given us his church, that he has given us each other, that we can come here, not just on Sunday mornings, but I know that I can call any of you any day of the week and be encouraged. And I can call any of you and encourage you in your walk of faith. If you're struggling in that walk of faith, or if there is anything that you need today, the invitation is open for you. If you'll come as we stand and sing.